Okay, today we are chazering the Drush HaShvi'i, the seventh drasha in the Drushas HaRan. Okay, so the drasha starts off with the Gemara in Chagiga that says, Atana Rabbanan, that there was Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Lazar Chasma. So they went to go meet Rabbi Yeshua in Pekin. And Rabbi Yeshua asked them, so what did you learn in the base medrash today? What was new? And they said, oh, Rabbi, we're your Talmidim, we want to learn from you. You tell us something. And Rabbi Yeshua said back to them, no, I want to hear from you. The Ein Beis Yomedrash Blo Chiddush, there must have been something you learned today. Tell me who was the Darshaner. And they said it was Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. He said, okay, what did Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah say? And he said, the Pasuk of the Mitzvah of Hakel, Torah says, Hakel Asa'am, Ha'anoshim, Ha'anoshim, Ha'ataf, to bring the nation together, the men, the women, and the children. So Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah made the following Joshua, Ha'anoshim, the men come to learn, the women come to hear, and the children, why do they come? To give schar to those who brought them. And Rabbi Yeshua said, you had such a pearl, a beautiful drasha like that, and you wanted to not tell it to me? Okay, that's how the drasha starts, quoting that Gemara. So, the Ran starts off saying this thing at the beginning where they said, oh, we don't want it, when Rabbi Yeshua asked them, what'd you learn today? And they said, oh, we, you know, you're our Rebbe, you tell us. So he says that's a way of you know, netilas rishus, of asking permission, can we speak before you, Rebbe? But if that's the case, asked the Ran, why does the Gemara then asks? The Gemara asks later on, why didn't they tell him directly that Rebbe Lezer and Rabbi Yochanan Broka should have started off directly when he said, what did you learn today? Why didn't they just tell him what they learned today? Why did they do this whole ritual of asking permission? So anyway, the Ram basically explains that, yes, you're right. The Gemara was asking it because since Rabbi Yeshua asked them directly, what did you learn today? So even though it's normally appropriate to not talk in front of your Rebbe and to ask permission, can we tell you something? But here, he asked them first. He said, please tell me what you learned today. So that's why the Gemara asked, why didn't they tell him straight? Instead of being notorious and saying, oh, you know, you're our Rebbe, you speak. When he asked them for something, that's implicit in him, Rabbi Yeshua asking them what they learned today, is that he wanted to know what they learned today. And they don't need to ask Rishus anymore. That's why the Gemara asked, why didn't they say it directly? And the Gemara answered, because even so, the Chachamim, even when they did it this way, where they said, what you learned today, they expected you to give kavod, to give the proper kavod and ask permission to talk, because there's a Gemara mentioned later on where someone asked, a Rav asked their Talmud, what you learned today, and he told them what they said in the Beis Medrash, and he got very angry about what he heard, and he got angry at the Talmud and punished the Talmud. And so that's how the Ran learns that Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara, it's Rav Elazar Damascus, who got angry at what the Talmud told him. He said they said over in the Beis Medrash today something about Trumas and Maisos, and which was really a Gzeira, an earlier Gzeira, and that Talmud said that in the Beis Medrash they made it sound like it was theirs, and he got very angry at the Talmud. Rashi understands he got angry that the person, the Talmud, was giving kavod to the rabbi who made the drasha in the Beis Medrash. But the Ran is learning it's because he wasn't notel rishus. The Ran understands that's why he was so angry at that Talmud, because he should have said, oh, Rebbe, like this Gemara has, why didn't you you tell us? We, you know. Anyway, the Ran's point is that it is appropriate to, before speaking to a gadol, to ask permission, you know, can we speak? At least that's what the Gemara says. Okay, anyway, there's three drushas that were spoken about there that Rav Elazar ben Azariah said. So now the Ran goes through all three. The first one is the one he just told you about, Hakel. Okay, fine. Second drusha the Gemara mentions there in Chagiga, this is on Daf Gimel, started. It says, Es Hashem emarta yom, Hashem emircha yom, that Hashem says to the Jewish people, you made me a chativa achas ba'olam, you made me a singular thing in this world, I will also make you a singular thing in this world. And the Gemara says, you made me a singular thing in this world, as it said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Jewish people declare, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. And so Hashem responds, I will make you a singular thing in this world, as it says, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who is like your nation Israel, Goy Echad Ba'aretz, a singular nation on earth. Okay, so the Ran asks on this, what does it mean that Hashem says to the Jewish people, you made me a chativa achas b'olam, you made me a singular thing in this world, because they say Shema Yisrael. So ask the Ran, Shema Yisrael is not the Jewish people's praise of Hashem. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah that you have to accept that Hashem is God. Hear, O Israel, right? It's a mitzvah to believe that Hashem is one. So what does it mean? The Gemara makes it sound like it's a praise. The Jewish people praised Hashem. And if it means just the fact that the Jewish people keep this mitzvah, so then it could list a lot of other mitzvahs where the Jewish people are singularly praising Hashem, like Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which would be, assuming we uphold, it's also a singular type thing. Anyway, the Ran says that this just refers to the Gemara that we probably all know, that says that Yaakov called his sons together. When Yaakov called his sons together, he wanted to tell them about what would happen to them in the future. And then all of a sudden, the Shekhinah left him. And he didn't know why. He thought maybe one of his children weren't so holy. He thought, Ein mi taso shlema, maybe one of his kids were not tzaddikim as they appeared. So all his sons said, Shema Yisrael, here Yisrael is in Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. So there it was said as a, to say that Hashem is one, it was said as a praise, not as a mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara is referring to when it says that the Jewish people praised me a special praise. It meant the Shvatim. And even though later on it was said again, based on this Medrash, it comes out when the Pasuk later says it in Dvarim, that was a mitzvah that had already been said by the Shvatim. Okay, so it was, and it was later put down as a mitzvah. But that's what it means, that we made Hashem a special, singular thing in this world. It refers to that praise that was originally said by the Shvatim. Okay, that's second drasha. Third drasha that Rav Elazar ben Azariah makes, that the Ran talks about, is the one he spends the most time on, and that is the following. It says, Divrei Chachamim kedarvonos, uchumas meros netuim bali asufos nitna miroa echad. That the words of the Chachamim are like cattle prods. They keep the cow straight. And it says bali asufos. We'll get to that in a second. All given from one shepherd. Okay, so the Gemara makes a drasha. What does it mean that like cattle prods? Just like a cattle prod keeps the cow from going off, keeps it straight to bring life to the world, meaning because when the cow plows straight, you can plant the wheat, and then people have food, and there is life. So too, Divrei Torah are like cattle prods in that it keeps us straight, which brings life to the world. What does it mean it brings life to the world? It means Torah is a chachma, it's a wisdom. There are some certain wisdoms that can take a person out of life. They can, their trickeries or their kfira, whatever, there are wisdoms out there that lead a person to a bad place. So the Torah never leads a person to the bad place, it always leads a person to a good place. It protects them from the Yitzhara and brings them to happiness. Okay, so that's how Divrei Torah are like cattle prods. Now it says, Bale Asufos. So the Gemara makes a drasha. This refers to Talmidei Chachamim who sit in groups and learn Torah together. Some of the Talmidei Chachamim will say a thing is Tami, others will say it's Tahor. They each have different Psak Halacha. And you should know that they're all given from Roa Echad, they're all from Moshe, they're all considered Torah. As we know, that's the concept of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But whether these Talmidei Chachamim hold its Asr, those hold its Mutter, even though one of them is right and one of them is wrong, it's still all considered Torah. Okay, so the Ran asks on this, what on earth does that mean that it's all considered Torah? Someone is wrong. Whoever's wrong, how is that considered Torah? They're wrong. They said that the Halacha is such and such, and that the Pshat and the Gemara is such and such, or whatever it is, and they're just wrong. So what does that mean that they're all given Meroa Echad? They're all given for Moshe Rabbeinu. So anyway, so the Ran answers that a very important yisod, that when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, and gave it specifically to Moshe originally, so he told Moshe all the things that the Talmidei Chachamim would come up with, but he didn't necessarily tell them the hachra, he didn't tell them the psak. In other words, he told Moshe, here's the issue, here's a mitzvah, here is what the Chachamim will argue about, these are the different svaros, the different reasons to say usher or mutter, and Hashem didn't necessarily tell Moshe what they should do. Just these are the different things that the Chachamim will say, and we, the humans, have to paskin. And he gave Moshe the tools. He said, "Achri Rabbim Lahatos, go with the majority. Lo Sosr Min Adavar Sheir Gidulacha, don't go away from what the Chachamim paskin." So the Torah was given to Moshe with its different possibilities, but not necessarily with what the psak is, and that's decided later on by humans. And that's a very, of course, important yisod, that the Jewish people have the right to decide what the Torah says. And that's the famous story, he says, of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. The famous story of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol came up by the Tanur Achnai, a certain machlokas, where Rav Elazar said, if I'm right, let the river flow backwards, and if I'm right, let the walls fall in. And all these miracles Rav Elazar did, he said, if I'm correct, a voice from heaven should come out and say, I'm right. And a voice from heaven came out and said, what do you want from Rav Elazar? He's right. And Rabbi Shua got up and said, Lo b'shamayimi, I don't care what the voice from heaven said. We decide. And the majority here says, it's not like you, Rav Elazar, therefore you're wrong. So the Ran says, you see from that Gemara that, the way the Ran understands it, everyone knew that Rav Elazar must be right, because a voice came out from heaven saying he was right. So he must have been right, but it didn't matter. And it would be wrong of them to paskin like Rav Elazar, because the Torah was given to humans, and it was given to the Jewish people to paskin. So whatever the people thought was correct, that's how they should paskin. Miracles aside, and that's the Gemara comes out there, that the Chachamim did correctly. And he brings another story from the Gemara above Metziah that says, and this is an absolutely fascinating Gemara, Rabbi Bar Nachmani heard what was going on in the Yeshiva Shalmaila. There was a machlokas, you know, to get tzaras, you have to first have the white patch on your skin, followed by the two white hairs. But if the white hairs came first, it's not considered tzaras. So there was a machlokas in Shemayim, what if you're not sure? What if a person's not sure which came first? So the Gemara says, incredibly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Tahor Musifter Dirki Amri Tami. Hashem said, it's Tahor. And Yeshiva Shamaila says, no, it's Tami. And then they said, who should we ask? How are we going to find out what the right halacha is? So let's ask Rabbi Bar Nachmani, who is a special bucky in halacha. So they asked Rabbi Bar Nachmani as he was dying, he said, Tahor. And they said, fortunate are you, Rabbi Bar Nachmani, that your body is Tahor and you're in neshama left with Tahor. Anyway, so they paskin like Rabbi Bar Nachmani, that's Tahor. So the Ran asks, sounds like a crazy story. What do you mean? Hashem said it's Tahor and the Yeshiva Shamaila is arguing. What does that mean? So he said, it's the Pshat is what he just said, that Hashem said it's Tahor, but the Masifta Derekiah, that's made up of Neshamos, the Yeshiva Shamaila is made up of Neshamos of people who used to be alive. And they are thinking, learning Torah thinking what humans should say. Humans should say to this that it is Tameh. And so they said, let's go ask Rabbi Bar Nachmani, who's a real human. And he said, no, they're wrong. In other words, the human mind says it should be Tahor. So that's how they went. But the Ran says that these Neshabas and Shemayim thought they were using their human psyche, because they used to be human. And either it's because they didn't learn well enough in this world that they got it wrong, or because they were too far removed from being physical. Either way, they were mistaken. But the point is that you see that it doesn't matter, even if Hashem himself says something, but the Torah, Hashem gives it to us to decide. So he says this also explains a lot of things. Number one, he said, why would souls be dealing with Negayim? I shouldn't say that it explains it. This is part of his ongoing explanation. The Ran wants to know, why is it that Neshamos are learning Torah at all? The Yeshiva Shemaila is made up of Neshamos, he just said. And why is it that they're learning the physical Torah, meaning whether something's a Nega or if it's a Suffolk? Nobody in Shemayim has leprosy. They're souls. So why are they learning it? And secondly, was the question of why is it that they think that they can argue with Hashem, that he explained. But as far as why are they talking about physical Torah, so he says, and this is also very interesting, that since they used to be humans, they're always going to be somewhat attached to the physical. It's a fascinating thing. That's why he says that the soul is always going to be attached to its physical body. In other words, if you recall, Yaakov buried Rachel outside of Israel so that when the Jews would walk by it, Rachel would daven for her son, so it wasn't matter where her physical body is buried. So you see that the neshama hangs out where its physical body is buried, and that's because since the soul hung out for so many years in a physical body, it got a little affected by the body, and it's always going to be somewhat connected to it. And therefore he says that when the person dies and the soul goes to Gan Eden, the Ran says this is a proof that Gan Eden must be a physical place. It's not a spiritual place, at least Gan Eden HaTachton. It's not a spiritual place, it's a physical place, because person who was body and soul together, once it separates and the body goes away, the soul can't jump all the way up. It has to go on levels. So the first level is it goes to the lower Gan Eden, which is a physical place on this world, which is what you would think from reading the Chumash. At least the Gan Eden HaTachton is a physical place. So maybe it's partially spiritual, it's certainly quasi-spiritual, but it's also physical. Okay, so that explains why neshamas are learning physical Torah, because they still have a certain physicality to them. And of course they'll be learning Torah, because that comes from Hashem, and that's them being ruchnias, so they're going to be learning Torah, but I guess it sounds like they're learning it in using some of the physical ways of talking about it, because they are somewhat physical. But getting back to the main point, so the fact that the humans can make up the Torah, he says, really has two things to it. One, that we learn from Lo Susser that the humans, we paskin, and that's how the halacha follows. And a second thing is that we have to, besides, don't go away from the way the Chacham and Paskin, which is what Lo Susser means. It means we also have to follow what they say in terms of mitzvahs derabbanan. According to the Ran, every mitzvah derabbanan is really a mitzvah d'araisa, because there's a mitzvah d'araisa to follow whatever the Chachamim say. So it comes out that every time the Rabbanan make a gzera, it becomes a mitzvah d'araisa. And that which we find many leniencies by derabbanans, like Safik derabbanan lakula, and it's nidcha mipini kavod abrius, if there's a kavod abrius issue, you can get out of it derabbanan. All these things are because the Rabbanan, when they made their mitzvah, they made it with these preconditions. That's how they fashioned the mitzvah, that if there's a suffix involved, you don't have to do it. But they all have a full din of a din daraisa, as it says, Lo Susser, you must follow the derabbanans. Okay, and that's a very important yesod from the Ran. Other Rishonim agree with it as well, like the Rambam. Anyway, then he asks a question. The Gemara says, by Ner Chanukah, it says, where does it say that we... the bracha is Asher Kedshanu b'mitzvasav v'tzivanu. We say, Hashem, you commanded us to keep Ner Chanukah. The Gemara says, where did Hashem command us to keep mitzvah derabbanan like Chanukah? So there's two opinions. One opinion, Rav Avia says, it says Lo Susser. That's what we had just quoted till now. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Shal avicha v'yagedcha. That's a pasuk in Hazino that says, ask your father and he'll tell you that tells us we should follow what our leaders, our fathers, our zakenim teach us. So the Ran asks, that second one, Shal avicha v'yagedcha, is for sure an asmachta. That's not a real drasha. In which case, it would seem probably the first drasha, Lo Susser, is also an asmachta. In which case, that means, bottom line is, there is no mitzvah de'oraisa to listen to derabbanan, which goes against what he just told you. So, the Ran answers that, no, Chanukah is a different type of mitzvah. When there's a regular derabbanan, meaning if the chachamim are trying to protect you from a mitzvah de'oraisa, in other words, an isur de'oraisa, they enact a certain thing, which is to keep you far away from the actual Daraisa, such as where they forbade certain things on Shabbos lest you come to do the Daraisa on Shabbos. Don't touch mukta things lest you come to carry. Whatever they did, all the mitzvahs on Shabbos, let's say, to keep you away from the Daraisas on Shabbos. So that, he says, that's Pashut. Everyone agrees that comes from Lo Susser. That's a real Din Daraisa. The question is by Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah has nothing to do with any Daraisa. It's a completely, totally made up mitzvah by the Rabbanu, with no connection to anything d'oraisa. That's where there's a machlokas, whether that's really d'oraisa or not. So the first person says it comes from Lo Susser, that's a din d'oraisa. The second person says it comes from Shal avicha v'yagedcha, and it's only an asmachta. That's the only place there's a machlokas. But everywhere else where the chachamim are keeping you away from d'oraisa, everyone agrees that it's a d'oraisa. Everyone agrees that it comes from Lo Susser, which means it's a real din d'oraisa. And he says that the main schar of Torah, this is also a big line, and the main schar of Torah are the derabbanans. Because, like he says, there's a Gemara in Hanazakin that has a machlokas, Tin Reb Lazar and the Reb Yochanan, is the Torah mostly written or mostly bal peh? Reb Lazar says it's mostly written, as it says, Echtov lo rubi torasi. So the Ran says, what does that mean, it's mostly written? Nobody could possibly think that the Torah, if you take Torah shebechsav and Torah shebal peh, and you say, is it mostly written or mostly bal peh? We know, take out a shas, which is bigger, chumash or a shas. We of course, the Torah Shabbat Peh is much bigger. So he says, what it means is most of the Torah is written, he's including in that is most of the Torah hinted to, like including the Yud Gil Amidot Shadar and Adreshes to Bahen? Is it in some way in the Ksav? That's what Rav Elazar says it's mostly written. He means it's mostly hinted to in the Psukim. And Rav Yochanan said, no, it's mostly not. It's mostly Baal Peh. Because it includes the Dinim Derabanan, like he just said. And he says that it looks like the Maskana of the Gemara is that it's mostly Baal Peh. That seems to be the Maskana of the Gemara. And as it says, Lokar Sakadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael El Bishvil Devarim Shel Baal Peh, that's what the Gemara says, that the main connection, the main covenant Hashem has with the Jewish people is because of Devarim Shel Baal Peh. Which would mean that most of the Iker connection, the Iker Bris Hashem has with us are Dinim Derabanan, things that have no hint at all in the Torah. That's, I mean, I said maybe Halacha Moshe Messina would not be in that case. Right, the Ran says that, but Halacha Moshe Messina and Derabanans would be, have no hint in the Psukim. So that's the main bris Hashem has with us. It comes out that the main schar we have in doing mitzvos was from Derabanans. Halacha Moshe Messina and Derabanans, things that have no hint in the Psukim. Okay. Which really explains, you know, a lot of times we wonder when so much of Shas has nothing to do with Erevin as Derabanan, Megillah as Derabanan. So many Masechtas and so much is written all about Dini Derabanan. And that's what the Ran says. You're right. That's the main schar of the Torah is, ironically, keeping the Derabanans. And he says that's the story with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yeshua, when Rabbi Yishmael came to ask Rabbi Yeshua, the Chazal made an Isser Gvinas Akim. If a guy makes cheese, even if it's all kosher ingredients, if the guy makes cheese, no good, it's treif. So he asked him, why did Chazal do this? And Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to tell him the reason, because it hadn't gotten time to, the Gzeira is fresh, and he didn't want to talk about it yet, the reasons. So he said, he told him, well, how do you read the Pasuk, Ki tovim dodechem yayin, or Ki tovim dodeich? He switched into another Pasuk, through which he hinted to him, tovim dodechem yayin. It was a way, according to the Ran, of hinting to him that that the Divrei Chachamim, Chazal tell us that the words of the Chachamim are greater than the Yenu Shel Torah. That's what Gemara says. Amar Knesset Yisrael Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or even Malai Divrei Dodim, Yoser Miyenu Shel Torah. That's Tovim Dodecha Miyayin. It's the words of the Chachamim are better than the wine of Torah, meaning the actual Daraisa. We prefer the words of Chazal, the mitzvahs of Chazal, are better to us than the actual Daraisas. And he says, well, how could that be? Well, he just told you how it could be, because most of the schar we have is from keeping the Derabanans. Plus, he says, the reason why Derabanans are better than Daraisas is because we voluntarily, as a people, voluntarily accept mitzvahs Derabanan, and Chazal make a din Derabanan, so it's Klal Yisrael as a whole is voluntarily accepting a new mitzvah. It's a din Derabanan, but still voluntarily accepting a new mitzvah. And so you get more schar for that when you opt in than when Hashem gave us a mitzvah that we must keep. You get more schar because we're opting into a mitzvah, so that's better. Okay. Then the Ran asked the obvious, what do you mean opting in is better if you voluntarily take on a mitzvah that's better? Don't we all know, Gadol HaMitzuvah V'Osa, Mimisha Eina Mitzuvah V'Osa, isn't it better? Don't you get more schar if Hashem commands you to do a mitzvah and you didn't have the option to not do it? The Gemara says you get more schar than if you voluntarily take on a mitzvah. So let's say a person is, a man has a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. It's not optional. A woman is pater from sitting in a sukkah. If she sits in a sukkah, it's optional. She gets a mitzvah, but not the same schar as someone who is commanded to do it. So how are we saying that the Rabbanans are better because there we get to voluntarily opt in? We know from the other, from Gadol Mitzvah V'Osa, that it's better to be commanded. You get more schar if you're commanded to do something than if you voluntarily opt in. So how are the Rabbanans better than Daraisa? So the Ran says, that's no taina at all, and I'll explain it to you. First, you have to understand why it is that a Gadol Hamid, someone who's commanded, is better off than someone who does something voluntarily. The Ran's going to explain he calls three, it's very similar to the second and third, but three reasons why someone who's a Mitzvah V'Osa gets more schar, and none of those are relevant to the Rabbanans. Okay, the first reason he says that someone who voluntarily does a mitzvah as opposed to when they're commanded to do it gets more schar is because we all know the Fum Tzara Agra. It's much harder to do a mitzvah when you don't feel like you have a choice to not do it. Like he mentions the Gemara in Yuma that says the person who is in charge of taking the Seir La'azazel, that goat, to throw him off the cliff. So they would place for him food in every so often, that he could have food if he wanted to eat food. And the Gemara tells us that no one ever took that food. So if no one ever took that food, why they bother putting it out? Because Mishi Yishlo Pas Pesalo, someone who has, who knows they could, there's food in the basket. They know that if they want the food, they can have it. Then they don't desire the food as much. So the same thing, if a person knows they don't have to do a mitzvah, then it's much easier for them to do the mitzvah than if they know they must do it. That added forcing them to do it makes it harder to do the mitzvah, and that's why if you must do the mitzvah, you must sit in the sukkah, you get more schar than if you, it's up to you, you want to today you do, tomorrow you don't. You get less schar for that because you don't have the same yitzhara. So the Ran says, that's all good, that all makes sense by, let's say, something like sukkah. But with dinim derabanan, it's only as a people we voluntarily take it. But once we volunteered to take this mitzvah on, it now becomes something we must do. You can't opt out of a derabanan. Once it's an official din derabanan, we must do it. And therefore, Klal Yisrael as a whole volunteered to do it, so we get more schar for wanting to take on more. And we don't have the thing of, well, this week we don't want to do it, because once Chazal made it a mitzvah, we always must do it. So you get the best of both worlds. That's why derabanans are better. For that reason. The second reason he says that you might, that we say sometimes, that we say, they get more schar if you're commanded to do something than if you just voluntarily take it on. He says it's because mitzvahs that Hashem gave a person that they must do, it's probably because it's important for them to do it. Whereas mitzvahs that a person was not given that they must do it, it could be that that mitzvah doesn't make sense for them, and so they're not going to get a lot of schar to do it. For instance, a kohen in Yisrael. A kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. So if a non-kohen in Yisrael says, I'm going to be a big tzaddik, I'm going to take on this mitzvah and not marry a divorced lady, he's going to get schar for that. It had nothing to do with him. You can't just pick and choose. You know, Chazal tell the truth is, all mitzvahs, unless Chazal tell us that there's no point in doing them, we always assume that you can opt in and do the mitzvah if you want. But this is just, the Ran's giving an example. Another example is a guy who keeps Shabbos. A guy who volunteers to keep Shabbos is Chayv Misa. There are certain mitzvahs that just do not work for you. So the reason why, another reason why someone who's mitzvah v'osa might be greater is because that mitzvah may be more necessary for their neshama. Whereas someone who doesn't have the mitzvah is not as necessary for their neshama, so it's not going to give them as much schar. So he says that also doesn't apply to the Rabbanans. Because once Chazal make a mitzvah, the din da'araisa of Lo Sasur kicks in, and it's as much important to us to do that mitzvah as any other mitzvah. It becomes one of the mitzvahs of Lo Sasur. So therefore, that reason's no reason either. Once Chazal making a mitzvah, it becomes a mitzvah that's important for all of us to do. Then, the third reason, he says, is if Hashem would have given us mitzvos because he needed them, okay. But since Hashem gets nothing from our doing mitzvos, so then someone who Hashem decides to give the opportunity to do mitzvos must be greater. Again, that has no relevance to a din d'rabbanan, because again, once Chazal make up the mitzvah, it's as relevant to all of us. So his bottom line to all this is that the d'rabbanans are therefore, in a sense, greater than d'araisas, in that it's the Jewish people voluntarily taking on a mitzvah, so we get more schar for it. Okay. He says, he brings also that Rabbi Yonah has another reason why Divrei Sofer, my Darabanans, are better than Daraisas. What does it mean, Divrei Chachamim are better than Yena Shel Torah, why Darabanans are better? So he says, because Dine Darabanan are all revolve around Yira, all revolve around being in awe and afraid of Hashem. And that's why Chazal made things to keep you away from doing Averos. So therefore, when a person does a mitzvah derabanan, it usually keeps them away from doing an avera, so they're enhancing their yiras Hashem. And he says that's the whole point of Kol HaTorah Kula. The whole point of the Torah is to bring us to yira. And as I'll say later, Hashem, that's all Hashem asks from us. Ma Hashem lekecha shol mimach. That's a pasuk kiyum liyira. It's all to fear Hashem, and that's the whole point of derabanans. That's why derabanans are so important. And then the Ran brings in, interestingly, just like you get more schar, generally speaking, for derabanans as a whole, we get a lot of schar for that. So too, if a person doesn't do derabanans, and here he means doesn't do derabanans because they think derabanans aren't important, the onesh is worse, the punishment is worse. And he says the reason for that is because if a person doesn't do a daraisa because they really want to eat a cheeseburger, okay, so they gave in to the Yitzhar. But if a person doesn't want to keep their abundance because he just doesn't think their abundance are important, so then that's bizoyon. That's not just not doing the mitzvah, that's disgracing the mitzvah. And that has a worse mitzvah, worse punishment, as Chazal tell us, kala over al divrei chachamim chayiv misa. Anyone who doesn't keep a derabanan is chayiv misa. So the Ran wants to know, okay, I understand that disgracing a mitzvah is bad, but where do we find that there's a chayiv misa? Where did Chazal get that if you don't keep derabanans, even if you're not keeping it because you don't care about derabanans, where did they get that there's a chayiv misa? If the whole place their abundance start from is because the Torah says the lo sasur, never says they're anywhere, and if you do, you'll get death. So the Ran says, the truth is we find in many places where people got punishments that they seemingly didn't deserve. And that is, he brings a bunch of examples. One of them is Reuven. Reuven, we know that he did the, what the Torah called, seemed to call an Avera. He switched the beds. And he lost the kahuna, he lost the birthright, he lost malchus, he lost a ton of stuff when the Gemara says that anyone who says Reuven sinned is a mistaken. So if, whatever it means, he did some kind of avera, but not the avera that Torah sounds like he did. So he got a very terrible punishment. Also, the Ran brings other examples of the person who caught the aron as it was falling. So he... obviously, he didn't mean to do anything wrong. He thought he was helping. The Aaron was falling, and he was killed. So where did those death sentences come from? So the Ran says the answer to all these questions is that when the Torah gave punishments, those are, generally speaking, if someone does an Avera, so then they get, let's say they eat treif, they get malchus. But if they don't do a mitzvah because they don't care about the mitzvah, so then, of course, it comes with the chiyuv misa, because when they're not doing that mitzvah, they're not just not doing that mitzvah, they're disgracing the whole Torah, because when they pick a mitzvah that they don't keep just because they don't care about it, that's a disgrace to the whole Torah. So he says that comes with a chiyuv misa, and of course, it depends on who's doing it. The higher level, the person like Reuven, it sounds like the Ran suggests that Reuven did have something to do with him not being machshav a certain mitzvah, but whatever the case is, if a person doesn't do a mitzvah because they don't take it seriously, not because they have a yitzhara, but just because they don't take it seriously, then there's a chiyuv misa attached to it, which would again mean that the Ran, all the cases the Ran brought of people who got killed, it was all, he thought, because they didn't take the mitzvah so seriously. Okay, and where does it officially say this chiyuv misa? So he here's a place. It says Kidvar Chazal tell us Kidvar Hashem Baza. The pasuk says that someone disgraces God's name. So then there's a chiyuv misa listed there, and Chazal tells us what does it mean Kidvar Hashem Baza. That he disgraced Hashem's name. So Gemara gives two options. One is someone who says in Torah Meneshemayim, someone who says the Torah didn't come from God. That's one Kidvar Hashem Baza, where it says he carries the grave, whatever, the person gets killed, gets a chiyuv misa. And the other version is whoever doesn't chazer. So imagine in the same pasuk. What does it mean, whoever it was mevaza, whoever disgraces the word of God? So that's either he says there's no Torah Meneshemayim or he doesn't chazer. So he says, how could that be? You know, that means a person could learn all day long, just not bother chazer, but learn every second and still be chayiv misa. How could that be? So he says the same thing. If you don't chazer, what does that show? It shows you don't really care. You don't really care. If you don't really care about the Torah, so then that's a disgrace. And that carries to the chayiv misa. If a person, like the Gemara says there, if a person forgets and there's nothing they could do about it, then they have a weak intellect or whatever it is, so then that's different. But if a person forgets because they didn't bother the chazer, so it shows that they're mevazeh dvar Hashem. It's not important to them. So that's why it comes to the chayiv misa. So again, all these, whenever Chazal tell us whoever doesn't keep a derabanan gets misa, so that's what it means. Because it means it's talking about where they don't take it seriously because it's a derabanan. And that's not okay. Okay, anyway, he says in another pshat, the reason why there's a chiyuv misa is, again, similar to what he said before from Benu Yonah, that all the rabbanans are to get you to yira. Most the dinim de rabbanan are to keep you away from averos, and the entire purpose of the Torah is Yirah, as again, like we said, it says, Ma Hashem Elokech Shalmi Machkirim Liyirah. That's all Hashem wants from us, is Yirah Shamayim. And the Ran says, the main thing is actually Hashem wants Yirah, like the Pasuk says, not knowledge. Again, not necessarily what we've been taught in yeshivas. He says the reason why we have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah is so that we act properly, because we have to do the mitzvahs. Hashem wants us to do the mitzvahs, but the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to reach a conclusion of what to do. And of course, when you learn, it has a certain aura and protects you as well, as the Ran said. But the main thing, the goal is to reach Yiras Hashem. And you cannot reach Yiras Hashem if you're not a Talmud Chacham. If you don't know Halacha well, if you don't know Torah well, you can't act in the way you're supposed to act because you don't know. And that's what he says. The Pasuk says, Tzedakah teromim goy v'chesed lumim chatas. The Gemara quotes this Pasuk. It says that Tzedakah raises a goy, a nation, v'chesed lumim chatas, and kindness for the nations is a chatas, which the Ran translates as, it's a carbon chatas, means it's good when the goyim do tzedakah and do mitzvos, so then it's a chatas for them. However, it's not as good as the Jews. Ritzon melech le'evan maskil. The Hashem wants an evan maskil, an informed, intelligent evan, meaning Hashem wants us to do the mitzvos the way He said us to do the mitzvos. It's not nearly on the same level. Someone tries to do everything they can, but they don't know, that's good, but it's not anywhere near someone who spent the time to learn and now does things, does the mitzvahs properly like Hashem wanted them to be done. But either way, the end goal is Yirah Shamayim. Therefore, if you don't keep the Rabbanon, that's why it's Chiyuv Misa. Okay, now, the Ran asks, he says, this is a very important question here. If Yirah is really the purpose of creation, so then, and the purpose of all Torah and mitzvahs, if that's the case, why does the Gemara say that it has the list of the seven Prushim, the fake Prushim, the fake Tzadikim, the people who the Gemara understands to be Rishayim? I believe it was the Gemara in Sota. So anyway, the Gemara lists the seven Prushim, and it says, Parashichmi, Parashnikvi, right? They're people who are fakes out there. Tzadikim, they walk with their head low, they look like Tzadikim, but they're really not Tzadikim, they bump into walls. Anyway, the last two is Parash Mi'ava, Parash Mi'ira, which means someone who does mitzvahs because they want schar from Hashem, or someone who doesn't do averos because they don't want to be punished. So that's in the list. Yira is in the list of evil people, people who stay away from averos because they don't want to be punished. That's in the list of bad people. And it's true, the Gemara then goes on and says, no, remove the last two, Parash Mi'ava, Parash Mi'ira, that's okay, because a person should always be osik v'torah mitzvah shalolishma, shimitoch shalolishma, balishma. If a person does mitzvahs because they want schar and doesn't do averus because they don't want to be punished out of yira, so then it's not great, but it's not terrible because from a level of shlolishma you can come to lishma. Okay, so the Ran is asking, I just told you the point we're trying to reach is yira. So how could it be considered shlolishma? Furthermore, there's another Gemara about two people who had two Talmidim who went to the Rebbe and they said they had a dream. Each one had a different pasuk in their dream. And one person had a pasuk of Marav Tuvcha Sher Tzafanti L'Riecha, how great is the good that Hashem you have hid to those who fear you. The other one had a pasuk about Ava, and the Rebbe responded, you're both Tzadikim Gemurim, just one has Ava, one has Yira. So again, ask the Ran, how could you call it, if you just told me that Yira is either a fake parish, either a bad thing to be, or at best shalol lishma, so how could you call someone who Hashem called him a Yori Shamayim, a Tzadik Gamar? Okay, and the answer, I think we all know, is that there are two types of Yira. There's two types of fear. One is the type of Yira of, I don't want to get slammed, I don't want to get hurt. Someone who doesn't do averus because they don't want to be punished. So that's a Yira Shamayim that's considered shalol lishma. That's not the highest level of Yira, that's something that just leads you to the next level. The Yira that the Ran is talking about, that is the focus, the end point, the goal of all Torah mitzvahs, is not that kind of Yira. It's the kind of Yira where you're in awe of Hashem, where you feel His presence wherever you are, wherever you're standing, Hashem is with you. That's the goal. That's the Yira Shemayim we're talking about, to be in awe, always be in Hashem's presence, to be in always awe of Him, and not doing averus because He's here, because you're in awe of Hashem wherever you go. That's the end goal. And the Ran, I'm not sure how this segues into it, but he says that when Mashiach comes, one of the big promises Hashem told us that when Mashiach comes, all the people of the world will become from Jewish and from. Everyone will become Yirei Shamayim, I guess. So, and that's what the Pasuk says, Ma'ashav Elach V'anachamech. The Pasuk where it says in Echa. Pasuk in Echa says, Ma'ashav Elach V'anachamech means, the Pasuk Shad means, he's calling out to the Jewish people who are in such suffering. Who could I say went through a similar trouble and that will comfort you? But the Gemara makes a drasha, or the Medrash rather, in Eicha Rabbah, says that Ma'ashavelech va'anachamech lichesheh eshavelech anachamech. When I will make things equal, then you will be comforted. So the Ran says, what does that mean? The Ran says that the reason why the Goyim hate us is because we are different than them. We have our Torah and Mitzvot. They don't. Like it says, why was Har Sinai called Har Sinai? Because when the Torah came down on it, Sina came to the world. That the Goyim hate us because we're different. We're not allowed to eat with them. We have different foods. We can't eat with them because of Bishalakim. There are all kinds of dinim that keep us away from the Goyim. And once they all become Jews, L'chasheh Shavelech, once we're all equal and they're all Jews, then Anachamech, then we'll be comforted because then there'll be no more hatred in the world to us. And he says, this, that the Goyim will become Jewish, is hinted to in what Yaakov told his children. When he talked to Yehuda, he said, Lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda, mechokik mi bein raglav, the rulership will never leave Yehuda, ad ki yavo shilo, until Mashiach comes, velo yikas amim, and to him the nations will come. So you see, the Goyim will eventually come to the Jewish people when Mashiach comes. And while we got into that, we digress to talk about, that's the fact that Yehuda would be the Melech. So, the Ran says that he understands that pasuk of Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda, that meant that kingship of the rulership over the Jews, when there is a king over the Jews, will always be with the Shevet of Yehuda and will not be given over to a different Shevet. It does not mean the Jewish people will always have self-rule. It just means when they have self-rule, it will be Yehuda and not Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, some other Shevet. Similarly, the Ramban tells us that the reason why that it's a mitzvah. The Ramban says that he understands that pasuk Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda to be a mitzvah, that the Jewish people are not allowed to have someone else become a king, and that's why the Jewish people were punished when they kept having kings from Israel, and that's what happened to the Chashmonaim. The reason the Chashmonaim suffered such a terrible punishment, they were all destroyed, is because the Chashmonaim were not from Shevet Yehuda. They were kings over the Jewish people, and that was an avera, and that's why they were so severely punished. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says, no, it's not a mitzvah. It's a nevuah. Yaakov is saying, this is what's going to happen. There will be no other king except from Yehuda. So he doesn't think it's a mitzvah. It's just stating a fact. That's the way it will be. Okay, so then he explained it. How can it be? Because that's not what occurred, because Hashmonaim, for example, did take over. So he says, what the Pasuk is telling us is a Nevuah. It's saying that the Melucha will never leave the tribe of Yehuda completely. It will maybe partially leave him, like it did in the times of Shlomo's son, where it split. Melucha will partially leave the Jewish people. It will never completely leave the Jewish people. That's what the Nevuah is saying. And that's all good when the Jewish people have self-rule. Before the Jewish people had, before the kingship of Yehuda started, the Ran says that's no kasha. The fact that Shaul was king before David, that's not a question, because all the Navi was saying was, all Yaakov was saying is, once rulership starts with Yehuda, once Yehuda becomes the king, it will never leave him. But what happened before Yehuda becomes king, that could be anybody. But once Yehuda became king, it will never leave him. And that which the Chashmonaim and others took over, so he said, the only time the Torah that Yaakov is giving a nevuah that the Jewish people be in charge is when they are truly in charge, when they're not, it's not a foreign puppet. When the reason the person who's ruling over the Jews is not really truly independent, it's because the nations of the world allow that person to be the king, like the case of Rome and Pras and during the times of Baisheni, where whoever was the king was just only had to get the blessing of the rest of the world. In that case of Rome. That's not called full rule. It has to be a full rule. So when the Chashmonaim were in charge, it wasn't total independence, and there's no nevuah about what will happen when we are in even a partial galus, certainly a total galus. Chazal tell us differently, in the sense of Chazal have, I think he means Chazal arguing with the Pasuk, but he says Chazal have a derech acheres, and he says that the rulership will never leave Yehuda even after, even in complete galus, as Chazal make a drasha. L'yaser shevet miYehuda in the Rashi galus Babel Shiro Dinasam. Even the Reish Galusas, the people who will be in charge of us in galus, they will be from Shevet Yehuda. So that means at all times it will never, at least completely, leave Yehuda. And it also tells us that their children will be Talmidei Chachamim. As the Gemara says, that Horah will, you know, Psak will come out of Yisachar or Levi, but Torah will still come out of Yehuda, even if they don't Paskin correctly, they will still be Talmidei Chachamim. And finally, there's another drasha of Chazal that has a totally different way that says that this Pasuk is only referring to when Mashiach comes. When it says as ad ki yavo Shiloh, it means from the time of Shiloh, that once Mashiach becomes king, then there will be no other king afterwards outside of Yehuda. And then he gets back to the thing he said a moment ago, that when Mashiach comes, everyone will become Jewish and from, and he says that's the pshat in the pasuk of Beyom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echadosh Me'achad, that we say at the end of Aleinu, that on that day God will be one and his name is one. He says nowadays his name is one, meaning everyone davens, everyone prays to a god. Everyone prays to God, so his name is one. But who they're praying to is different. But when Mashiach comes, so then it'll be Hashem Echad, it'll be one Hashem. Everyone will become, to go to our Emunah, Ushmo Echad, and his name will also be one. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, next week we will, or next time, we'll continue with Drasha number 8.